One final time. Welcome to the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm
also
Chris
known
McPherson,
as Eagles Beakley.
And it's also known as other things by many others. But we are here, the official Eagles Insider
the
Podcast.
The one and only Eagles Insider Podcast.
The uniquely Eagles Insider Podcast.
We didn't really do it last week. I meant to go off on Jimmy and Tommy.
Yeah.
Declare fatwa, but I think they changed it. So
they changed it.
They knew they were in our sights.
It's they went with another Eagles Network show.
But then they changed it again, I think.
Did they change it again?
Yeah.
I saw on their site they made like a joke about it.
Oh, this is Pontifications of Bo. That's right. This is the soundtrack.
I'm not isn't deep. This is like angry. This is we were ready to declare war. But
you're allowed to be angry. That could be part of the reflections.
So they changed it. They changed it from Inside the Eagles.
Yeah, that's which is the name of one of our Eagles Network shows. Yes.
Yeah, they changed it to Eagles Insider with Dave Spadaro.
Eagles Nightly.
Yeah, they changed it to Eagles Nightly. They changed it to Birds 24/7 with Ray the Rant.
Presented by Philly.com.
There you go.
So I'm Chris McPherson alongside Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy. Happy New Year to everyone out there. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season. The Eagles end the 2014 campaign on a high note, beating the New York Giants 34-26. Good to see the team respond after losing three straight. Good to see them send the Giants into the offseason with a loss. The Giants were red hot coming into the game. But obviously fans, I know, don't want to delve too much into that. They want to know what's going to happen moving forward. And this is going to be our year in review show. And we will look ahead to all the big questions that are going to face the team this offseason. So before we delve into the real deep matters, any thoughts on the Giants win? Anything you want to just touch on real quick? I mean, for me, the only thing is good to see that the team with, from the outside perspective, nothing to play for, good to see the team respond the way they did and come out wanting to win that final game.
Especially after giving up the touchdown right away to begin the game. You know, it's possible they could have just sort of looked ahead to the offseason and rolled over from there. But, you know, Chip has talked about the, you know, it's maybe a little overrated, the culture of this team, but to see these guys fight together, and you know, Chip has talked about how great he thinks this group of guys is, so it was good to see that sort of be proof in the pudding. But as far as the game itself, it didn't really matter. So, you know, I'm not excited to have to face Odell Beckham Jr. for the next
ten
years.
What a prick.
It was interesting to see, you know, Nolan Carroll and Jalen Watkins on the outside. That was fun. Boykin a little bit.
No, I almost don't want to hear the song now. I almost do not want to hear the song now.
Oh, you can still hear the song.
We have to. Yeah. He likes it raw.
He is
but,
so good, though.
You know, there wasn't much else in the game.
Yeah, I thought Ike Reese on the kickoff show brought up a good point. And look, it was two completely different scenarios. Looking back to 2012, going up to New York and finishing the season there, the last game under Andy Reid and the team just folded. In a similar scenario where there wasn't, you know, anything in the playoff standings to play for, it was good to see the team bounce back. And like Bo said, they didn't go and fold after that first drive. It would have been easy to, you know, to just kind of, you know, fold it in and give up there. But, you know, they fought back and came up with a win. And it's always good to beat the Giants, go out the season that way.
So I guess the thing is, let's look at why the Eagles are not in the playoffs. And obviously you're going to say they didn't win enough games. But Jeffrey Lurie, chairman CEO of the team, spoke publicly for the first time since back in training camp. And he said that he is very optimistic about the future of this franchise, but to watch the team lose 3-4 to end the season was simply gut-wrenching in his own estimation. And he cited three things. He cited turnovers. Obviously, first and foremost, the team led the league in turnovers, way too many. After setting a team record last year for fewest giveaways, they led the league this year. Red zone offense, Eagles were in the bottom half, I think 23rd. Overall in the league, below 50% touchdown percentage, and explosive plays allowed by the defense, a league high in that category as well. So that's really the biggest area on defense that regressed compared to 2013. So many great things about the defense, but the X plays were by far the biggest bugaboo for this team overall. Your thoughts overall on what Jeffrey said about the reasons why the Eagles aren't in the playoffs, and anything else that he said that might have stuck out to you?
Well, I mean, we've talked about those three things all season, and it's true that those are the biggest flaws with this team. And we've also talked about, sort of ad nauseum, how crazy it is that this team is so different than the 2013 version. The 2013 team, dominant on the ground, didn't turn the ball over. The defense was okay, but what they did really well was keep the plays in front of them, didn't let anything get behind them, not a lot of penalties. This season, the complete opposite. You know, so many turnovers, giving up so many X plays. Last year, they start slow, finish strong. This year, they start fast, finish slow, and yet still 10 wins. So, I mean, I guess that tells you that, that Chip can sort of win different ways, which is good. But I'm sure that he would prefer to play sort of in the macro sense like they played in 2013. You know, the turnovers should regress a little bit. That obviously has to get better. I'm sure they'll focus on not giving up the X plays. But, I mean, those are the reasons why the Eagles are not making the playoffs.
And it's tough, too, because and Chip Kelly talked about it all season long when he was asked about, you know, the turnovers and the red zone and even the X plays as well. It's not one particular thing in all three of those areas. You know, there's different things that lead to each of those individual plays, whether it's something going on up front on the offensive line or the defensive line, guys on the outside maybe not doing the right thing technique-wise, whether it's a receiver running the right route or a corner, you know, staying with his technique and playing with the right leverage, all these different things. Or it could be, you know, some of those turnovers could be on the quarterback, some of them could be on the running back. It's a lot of different things that lead to those turnovers. So really it's a team effort to try and get those fixed. I thought that Mr. Lurie brought up a really good point too, in that when you look about the difference between the 2013 going into the 2014 offseason and then right now where we're at going into the 2015 offseason, the big difference is last year I thought going into the offseason you just wanted to collect talent, bring in the best players you could at every single position, and obviously you want to do that every single year. But this year the perceived needs I think are a little bit more streamlined. You kind of see, okay, here are the things that we definitely need to improve as we go into the 2015 season.
So the Eagles 10-6 for the second straight season. Eagles obviously building to be one of the elite teams in the NFL. That's sort of, they're at the point, and Jeffrey mentioned this during
good
his press conference. Good to great. That's the big thing. And you take a look at the great teams in the league right now. You look at the four teams that have the byes. You look in the AFC, New England and Denver. You look at the NFC, you've got Seattle and Green Bay. And there's one obvious commonality to all four of those teams, quarterback. They all have had outstanding quarterback play throughout the course of the 2014 season. And I think that's obviously every position is important, like Chip Kelly said, but even Jeffrey said this, that the quarterback position is the most important position in all sports. And that's the one that the Eagles have to figure out. And Nick Foles addressed the media on Monday on locker room cleanout day for the first time since that season ending collarbone injury and said, look, I'm the guy. I'll fix my flaws. I'll fix the mistakes. I'll get the turnovers corrected. He was very self-assured, very self-confident, saying that he thinks he'll be the quarterback in 2015. And I have to agree. I think he is going to be the guy in 2015 because I think the one that you can say is Mark Sanchez, good backup, you know, flashed at times, just not consistent enough, too many turnovers. Nick Foles, look, too many turnovers, wasn't as strong as he was in 2013, that out-of-this-world season, but you know that he can play at that level. He brings a deep vertical element to the offense, which I think was lacking with Sanchez. And Foles never got to play with the healthy offensive line, and not that I want to use that as an excuse because injuries do happen, but I have to think that impacted his performance to some extent this season.
Well, listen, the quarterback position is the most important position, and I think there's every reason to expect that Nick Foles can be that guy, but there's no reason to count on it. I think you have to bring in some other options and at least think about, explore other options because the position is so important, it's worth looking into. So
I agree with that.
Eagles will look into every possibility they can to see if there's a way to upgrade the position. And if not, it'll be Nick Foles. And if so, maybe there'll be some competition. But, you know, Nick Foles of 2013 was great, 27-2, and the Eagles still lost in the first round of the playoffs. Obviously, you expect him to grow. But if you have an opportunity to get better at the most important position, I think you have to take it.
I think if 2013 was Nick Foles high and if you take this season as Nick Foles low, I think you could take that moving forward and try and win with that. I think that Nick is probably going to be the quarterback. I would, you know, and obviously anything can happen in the offseason. We've got 8 months to see how this is all going to pan out.
Certainly.
But I would think that he'll be the quarterback, and I think that he can, you know, we can win with Nick Foles. So, you know, you get him in there, would imagine that they're going to add some more pieces to this offense, I think that Nick Foles can, you know, can play at a high level.
I guess the biggest thing is everyone's going to be obsessed with the draft. Eagles pick number 20. You know, a lot can happen between now and the draft, but I know everyone's going to be infatuated with what will it take to get Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota. And I would expect them, if everything pans out, they should be two of the, if not the top two picks, two of the top five picks. And you guys know more about the draft. Certainly, Fran, you've been studying the college guys. You would have a better estimation of that.
Winston stinks.
You know, but I just don't see how you can get, you can get that high. It's not impossible, but you would be basically mortgaging the future and saying that that is a guy. It would be an RG3 type deal where you're saying, look, we're going to sacrifice the next couple of years draft wise to go get this guy. And I'm not saying because RG3 hasn't panned out the way that Washington expected him to, that you don't do such a move.
Yeah, you can't let that deter you.
No, I totally agree with that. But I just feel like there are so many other spots. There's other areas where this team needs to continue to build, to get younger, get deeper, that I don't know if it is worth what you would have to invest to get up there to get it.
Well, I mean, think about all the positions. You're right. Think about all the positions that over the next 2 years the Eagles need to get younger or better. I think you, at some point you need to add some more talent at running back. I think you need to add maybe a little bit more talent at wide receiver, maybe. Tight end, maybe. Definitely the offensive line, at least one or two spots. Defensive line is pretty good right now, and they're very young, so that's good. I think you need a new inside linebacker for sure. I think you need another outside linebacker, depending on what happens with Trent Cole and Brandon Graham this offseason. And you certainly need help in the secondary, both cornerback and safety. That's a lot of positions. So if you're going to give up the equity of all, you know, a bunch of draft picks, you're going to have to figure out ways to patch those other holes. And if the guy isn't, you know, Andrew Luck, then you're going to be fighting uphill.
Well, that's
at the same point, if, you know, if Chip says Mariota's the guy, like he's my guy.
It's such a unique situation.
It's very tempting to give him his guy, but we don't know how that's going to play out, and we don't know exactly what the cost would be. And the other thing is, you know, if you're Tampa and you love Marcus Mariota, why would you trade down?
Exactly.
Right? Like, it takes a willing partner. So there's a lot of variables that's going to be fascinating to see, but this team is not one position away.
And it's tough to say right now. We're sitting here. It's December 30th. On December 30th of 2013, we sat here and said that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be the 31st or 32nd pick. We would have all said that, yeah, that's crazy. Now, I'm not saying that Mariota or Winston will fall to 31 or 32, but they could, you know, potentially if they're at 13 or if they're at 7 or something like that. Now it's a little bit easier to swallow a move to that kind of spot if one of those two guys was someone that our guys would want to try and make a trade for. Then, you know, we approach that then. It's tough to say right now, but at 20, looking at the guys that are available right now, you would imagine that Winston and Mariota will both be off the board.
Certainly.
In the top five. So I don't know. It's tough because we just talked earlier in this podcast. Quarterback's the most important position. So
yes.
If one of those two guys were your guy and you don't think you have that, then you try and make the move.
And it all comes down to what the coaches and the personnel guys, what
exactly
they think of this quarterback group.
Yep.
You guys want to take a quick look at the position groups?
Let's do it.
Heading into the offseason?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
You know, so quarterback, we kind of delved into. Obviously, Foles, he'll be the guy. Sanchez is a free agent. You have Barkley, who didn't get to play any meaningful snaps this season. To me, I guess with Sanchez, I appreciate how he came in. He was a consummate pro. I know there were people who on the outside thought, you know, that you saw how his Jets tenure ended and they didn't want to see any part of that. I thought he acquitted himself nicely. I thought he rebuilt himself quite well. He fit Chip Kelly's system pretty well. I think he was a good backup. I think he did a good job as a backup, but as a guy that you need to, you know, be the guy, be the quarterback, not quite at that level.
No, and I think, you know what you have in Mark Sanchez, and you know that he can run the offense efficiently, so I'm sure there'll be some level of interest in potentially
Certainly.
Bringing him back. He may want another opportunity elsewhere. But we've also seen with this offense, I think, that there are opportunities to plug and play guys. So there's going to be, you know, veteran cast-offs available
That's what could be interesting. Yes.
Guys like Jake Locker or maybe Sam Bradford or maybe EJ Manuel or you know, some of these guys. I don't know who ends up shaking loose, but maybe you think they're going to be better suited than Mark Sanchez. I don't know. I think we've seen that with a baseline level of play, it's good. You know, you can have an adequate backup in this offense.
And that's the thing is that I don't know. You know, you mentioned the Jake Lockers and the EJ Manuels and the Sam Bradfords. I don't know that those guys would necessarily be an upgrade over what we saw from Mark Sanchez over 8 games. So to me, Sanchez has done enough to I would think that they'd be okay with bringing him back. But if you were to go and make a move and say that one of these guys may offer more upside or, you know, may potential, you know, be a starting quarterback down the road, then you bring one of those guys in. But it's tough to turn down a backup quarterback of his caliber who has experience in the system, show that he can, you know, take the reins and you can win some games with him. It's tough to turn that down.
No question whatsoever. So you know what you have with Sanchez and, you know, how he fit into this program. We'll look at running back LeSean McCoy. You know, he didn't talk to the media on locker room cleanout day. His last comments to the media were at MetLife Stadium following the win. And he kind of, you know, sounded unsure about his future with the team. And obviously he's under contract, has a long-term deal, you know, but he was asked and he openly talked about how he might have to restructure a contract in order to come back here. All things being said, you know, with the offensive line shuffle, with the perceived struggles that he was having, he still rushed for over 1,300 yards. I forget exactly where he finished in the NFL pecking order, fourth or fifth.
His second best season.
It was his second best season, the sixth best individual rushing season by an Eagle in franchise history. You know, and you still, you know that with what Chip Kelly wants to do on offense, you need to have the featured running game. No question to me that he's the guy.
Yeah, and Chip says he wants Shady back. There may have to be some kind of you know, cap logistics maneuvered a little bit, but I would expect that Shady would be back. And then you've got Darren Sproles and you've got Chris Polk, and I think we'd expect maybe some other young guy gets thrown into the mix at some point. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll largely have the same group of running backs back.
I think it's easy for people, you know, like I forget where their quote unquote report came from, but you know, people saying like, oh well, you know, the Eagles could trade LeSean McCoy to move up in the draft. Well, somebody's got to be, you know, with the amount of times that we run the ball, somebody's got to be the running back. And, you know, you're not going to give Darren Sproles 20 touches week in and week out. Like, you know, I don't know if Chris Polk hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy either. So,
and Chip mentioned that at his press conference on Monday.
Somebody's got to be the ball carrier. Why wouldn't you want LeSean McCoy back on this team? He's still young. He's still very productive.
Somebody doesn't believe Matthew Tucker.
I like Matthew Tucker, but, you know, he's still young. He's still very productive, as we talked about. I don't think there's any reason not to bring him back. So we'll see.
We go to tight end. Very, very strong group, top to bottom. Yep. Brent Celek, great all-around guy, great team guy. Obviously more of a blocker this season than a pass catcher. Zach Ertz, thought he wasn't utilized as much as I would have expected. Now, I didn't think going into the season that he was going to put up monster numbers like some people projected, but I guess I thought he would be more consistently featured, especially just with the matchup problem that he presents. And then your other two guys, James Casey, Trey Burton, outstanding special teams guys. No question about it. But Brent Celek said himself he thought it was the best group of tight ends that he's ever played with in his time in Philadelphia. But Zach Ertz, I think, is the guy you're looking at, still a player that's got some upside, a guy who's on the rise going into his third year next year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he says he made a big jump in his blocking this season from game one to game 16. So he'll look to do that again this offseason so we can get on the field more. But, you know, he's an exciting young player. He's an exciting piece for this team. I think maybe we'll see a little Trey Burton on offense next season if he takes a step forward. So it's a good group for the Eagles here.
I don't know that 1 through 4, if anyone has a better group of tight ends in the, you know, in the league. Obviously, there are better.
I don't know
how
many teams carry 4 tight ends.
All right, well, 1 through 3 then. I don't know who's got better 1 through 3 because, you know, this group is definitely one of the strengths, you know, if you're going to rank the position groups of this roster. And as far as Ertz is concerned, look, I mean, he's still, regardless of the production week in and week out, he's still one of the biggest mismatches at the position around the NFL. I can understand the use of him because, look, you're trying to dictate matchups, and if you think that there's a weakness in the secondary that you're of the team you're going up against, you're not going to put, you know, 2 tight ends on the field because you want those guys, you want all those corners out on the field. You're trying to play the matchups. It's a week-to-week thing, and so it makes sense in my eyes, the week-to-week production. But look, like I said, this is the one of the strengths of this roster for sure.
Offensive line, good group. Not as dominant, I would say, as 2013. Injuries obviously playing a big part in that, where last year they had the same five guys all 17 games, including playoffs. Here, I forget the final number total in terms of offensive line
ten
configurations.
Ten different starters.
Ten different starters. How many starting groups, though?
Starting groups, that's the question.
But still, so the silver lining, you could say, is you learned about certain guys. You know, you got to develop some young guys. You know, David Mulk, you know, got to play some backup center, and they got to see Andrew Gardner. Matt Tobin finally got some significant reps. The thing is, that was a group I think you were counting on to really bolster the offense moving forward. And it seemed like once they got healthy, once they got back together, they were starting to peak. And then I feel like at the Seattle game, that was a game where I was really looking for them to kind of make that jump, to really kind of set themselves apart. And you didn't really quite get, I guess, what I was at least expecting out of them. But overall, you know, once they solidified themselves, they did okay, you know, much better than okay. But I think the big question moving forward is you have guys like Jason Peters, who's in his 30s. You have Todd Harriman's in his 30s. Evan Mathis in his 30s. You need to start getting those young guys ready because you just don't quite know when you're going to need them.
Yeah, I think you know, my guess is we'll see the five guys come back and be the starting offensive line next year. But I think you'd need to bring in a talent infusion for those backups. And, you know, I think the two most underrated injuries for the Eagles this season were Alan Barbary and Najee Good, because those were the top backups, guys you had a lot of faith in at positions where you always get injuries. And to have those guys both go down, I think, hurt a lot. You know, Alan Barbary, I think both in game one. So,
yeah.
You know, you counted on Alan Barbary to be a starting quality sixth offensive lineman. So you had to, you know, dip down a little bit to those other guys. But I think, I mean, I would be shocked if the Eagles don't take an offensive lineman in this draft somewhere. You mentioned it. Todd, Evan, Jason will have to be replaced at some point over the next few years. You know, I'm certainly not one to count out any of those guys.
No.
Because they're, you know, they work so hard and they're all sort of physical freaks. But eventually, you sort of have to get younger there. So
you kind of saw this season that life is going to end at some point with those five guys together. So.
I also think Lane Johnson is very close to being like just really, really good.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, the other thing too, you got to take into account, and we've seen this in the past with teams like Seattle, for instance, where when you've got a series of injuries at a certain area, obviously you're going to have a little dip in production for 1 year, but now those guys can build off that experience, those backup players. So you have guys, Barbary has seen a lot of action in this league. Obviously he didn't play a ton this year because of the injury, but you have Andrew Gardner, who got a ton of experience. Matt Tobin's got to see his first taste of real critical playing time. David Mulk. So you're starting to build some of that depth. So if you do bring some more young guys in, how they compete with some of the established guys that have been here, it'll be interesting to see throughout camp and through the OTAs and mini camps in the early summer.
So you go to wide receiver. Big question, obviously, is going to be what happens to Jerry Maclin. And it seems optimistic from the standpoint that Eagles obviously want him back. Homegrown guy, fits into the culture, you know, came off a devastating knee injury, had the best season of his career by a long shot. Can't say enough good things about him, and he wants to be here. So obviously that's going to be the big question mark this offseason. Does a deal get done with him? That aside, Jordan Matthews, tremendous upside, very productive rookie season. I still think that Josh Huff has a very high ceiling. And I know he grew this season. He made some mistakes at critical times, but I think that shows how much faith the coaching staff has in him, and I think he's going to be a guy. I think he's the guy to have the biggest potential jump from year one to year two in this system.
I'm fighting uphill on this one, but I've been saying this season, I think Josh Huff is going to be the best player from his draft class for the Eagles. He's got like a different juice in his legs than some other guys. I still have very high hopes for Josh Huff.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Huff is.
You think it's going to be Taylor Hart? I know, because you love Taylor Hart.
Yeah, but it's my fantasy namesake. But Josh Huff, look, you saw the play against Dallas at the end of the game where he took that little snag route, broke a tackle, and went for 50 plus yards. He's got that juice in his legs. Obviously, he brings the return specialist ability as well. He's a guy that I think is going to be a big part of the offense moving forward. Jordan Matthews, obviously, I think what you saw from Jordan Matthews this year is what you can expect moving forward. You know, he's going to be, I don't know what the final catch total was, but I would imagine it's in the 60s, mm-hmm. I would think. So I would imagine he'll be that kind of guy moving forward, you know, 60, 70 catches a year.
It's what, the third best rookie season for an Eagle?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think his contributions are sort of undersold.
Yeah, I think that's what you can expect from him moving forward.
Do you think he can play on the outside?
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's not that he didn't run any routes on the outside. He didn't line up necessarily on the outside, but you know, when the routes are said and done, once they declared themselves, he was running down the sidelines at times. That'll be something to watch moving forward. But look, I mean, this is a group that's got some young pieces. I'll be excited to see what they do moving forward. Yeah. I agree. Macklin coming back would be huge.
Yeah. And then you've got Riley Cooper. So let's talk about the defensive line.
Yeah, so go to the defensive line. You know, I already said that this is the most promising, the best suited group going into next season, because you have Fletcher Cox, who became a star this season. Benny Logan made tremendous jump from last year to this year, probably kind of lost in the shadows because of how well Fletcher Cox played. Cedric Thornton, I think, was just his usual workman-like self. Very good season once again. You know that Chip Kelly is a big fan of his. Howie Roseman, a big fan of his. But it's like he's got these other guys here that just kind of taken all the credit. And then from a backup standpoint, Bo Allen, your seventh-round pick, got valuable snaps. Brandon Bear, you know, was able to get some valuable playing time in there. Just top to bottom, very, very good group moving forward.
And Vinnie Curry emerging as, a really, really impressive designated pass rusher. This is the best group. They also they were the healthiest group on the team.
Yes.
All six guys played. That's how Taylor Hart got his feely with 16.
What you have to explain the feely for those.
That doesn't sound exactly good when you
know. A feely is when you are active. You are on the active roster for the entire season, but you are inactive for all 16 regular season games. It's an impressive feat because it speaks to the health of your position, but also the internal belief in you as a long-term player. So feely gets the, it's called a feely because he's the only one who did it twice. He also had two seasons where he was inactive for the first 15 games and then played in week 16 and week 17.
So he's so close.
It's insane. It's insane.
Now quarterback.
Life as a third quarterback. That's also back when they had the third quarterback designation.
Right. Yes.
But he still would have been inactive. Anyway,
I don't know that I don't know that there's a better three-man defensive line in the NFL from one, and we said it was tight end 1 through 4. I don't know that you could go 1 through 6 for any of these 3-4 defensive lines around the league, and a lot of teams play 3-4 now. That's better than this one. Benny Logan played at a high level. Seth Thornton played at a high level. This group is really going to be the strength of the team moving forward.
You know, you don't watch as much tape as Greg Cosell say, but would you put Fletcher Cox in the next group after J.J. Watt in the NFL?
Yeah, yeah.
Him, like, you know, I guess your boy Wilkerson and Richardson.
Muhammad Wilkerson, Gerald McCoy, and, like, you know, if you take those interior defensive linemen, I mean, you have the kid, who's the kid with the Titans?
Titans, Jarrell Casey.
Jarrell Casey. You know, obviously Justin Smith, but I think he's actually retiring, so. So he's out of the league now, but
the Packers. What, Mike Daniels?
He's better than Mike. I think Mike Daniels is one of the best players on that defense, but I think he's better than Mike Daniels. Yeah. I mean, Fletcher was dominant the last couple of months. Like he's unbelievable. So that's where I kind of stand on him.
It was very interesting talking to Fletcher during locker room cleanout. You know, I just did the question. You know, what made you take that step? What allowed you to become the player who you were this season? And he just said, it was word from D'Amico Ryans. Don't be afraid to be great. If you believe that you're unblockable, you will be, you know.
Just a secret.
Yeah, you know, but it's just little things like that. It's like he obviously has the talent. That's why he was the team's first-round pick in 2012. No.
Can we repeat that?
Deep thoughts.
Don't
if
be
you
afraid.
Believe that you're unblockable, you will be. Don't be afraid.
I don't think that'll work
to
for
be
me.
Great.
No.
I think if I show up in Chip's office, tell him I believe that I'm unblockable, I don't think it's going to move the needle for him.
Yeah. But you would believe it, though. Well, you would believe
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
As far as you know.
Go inside linebacker. So decimated by injury, speaking of D'Amico Ryans. Talked to him on Monday, said rehab has come along, but he is not one to give a timetable. He just said, when I'm healthy, I'm healthy. You know, he said,
amen.
He said it's similar to what he went through in Houston, but for the most part, it's like, look, when I'm ready to go, I'll be ready to go. Michael Kendricks, breakout season, tremendous performance. Casey Matthews, give him credit. He was someone who I think was kind of forgotten by most people. Everyone remembers how, you know, he didn't quite pan out as that fourth round pick in 2011 when he was thrown into the starting lineup in week one. And, you know, the Eagles give up the touchdown up the middle to Steven Jackson on the first play of his career. I think he came back in a huge way. And he's one of these seven unrestricted free agents. So it's going to be an interesting decision there for the Eagles this season. Emmanuel Acho, you know, played well in spot duty. But I think the big question is going to be, what do you do with D'Amico Ryans? How much can you count on him contributing next season? Or do you think that Najee Good, you know, he'll come back from the injury, he'll be able to slide in alongside Michael Kendricks and allow Michael to be Michael, as the coaching staff said?
Yeah, I think, you know, Acho and Casey Matthews did better than people expected.
Yes.
I think the defense didn't suffer that much, as much as we might have expected. You know, after the Texans game, we were saying that maybe the D'Amico injury is going to be more hurtful than the Foles injury. I don't think that turned out to be the case.
We did think that at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So you talked about this before. When you have these injuries, you develop that depth. I think the Eagles probably feel a little bit better about their inside linebacker depth now than they did. But I also think that they'll try to bring somebody else in younger here if they can, if the best available player board works out that way.
PPA.
But, you know, D'Amico is a guy, you know, Chip has talked about how much he loves having D'Amico in the room. The defensive guys love having D'Amico there. He's a great leader. So I think they might be able to work something out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, D'Amico is not irreplaceable in terms of, you know, obviously because, you know, those guys stepped in and played at a really good, you know, a better level than we expected. But you're not replacing D'Amico Ryans and his presence in that locker room. And look, when he's in there, I mean, he played – at a very, very high level, you know, and losing him was a big blow to the defense. But getting Najee Good back will be a huge boost. And look, you got those two guys in the back end now as your fourth inside linebacker or fifth inside linebacker, and that's pretty good. So it's a good group.
Outside linebacker, live questions here. You have Connor Barwin, phenomenal season, Pro Bowl, well-deserved. You know, he's been a rock, you know, in Bill Davis's defense. You know, he was a guy who I think sacrificed – you know, personal stats as the scheme underwent the transition in 2013. He was allowed to be let loose by Bill Davis. Career season. Kudos to him. Trent Cole, you know, a lot of people are asking about his future with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, Trent is someone who, you know, he's been here since 2005. He's, you know.
Says he wants to retire an Eagle.
Wants to retire an Eagle. Second in franchise history in sacks. You know, I think he belongs in the team's Hall of Fame down the line. He wants to remain here. And you might, in some ways, have to think about keeping him here, have to have him in the mix, because Brandon Graham is a free agent, and Marcus Smith, first-round pick, I still think there's plenty of promise for him, but he didn't get to be on the field much as a rookie, and it would be tough to just say, I'm going to count on that going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any chance that both Trent Cole and Brandon Graham don't return, because there's uncertainty at that position, but... and there's a chance they both return. So this is the most interesting offseason decision, I think, is what happens with Brandon Graham.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I thought both guys played very, very well. We saw what Brandon could do as a starter in Washington, and we've seen him come in and play in that backup role and play really well, not just, you know, as a pass rusher, which we know in the past that he can rush the passer, but against the run he got a lot better, and he did a good job dropping in coverage as well. You know, I've been going through looking through at some of our film for some of the segments I'm going to do in the offseason. It took me back to that Tennessee game where you saw him drop in coverage against Delanie Walker and, you know, and make plays down the field. You know, Brandon Graham has come a long way in the last 2 years. And, you know, having him back will be good. But Trent Cole is Trent Cole. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's been a stalwart of this defense.
Is it Trent Cole or Cole Trent?
It is Trent Cole.
Okay.
But... I mean, what's the stat when he missed that Washington game? That was his
fourth missed game due to injury in his career.
That's crazy.
He was held out of, I think it was that 2010 season finale where the starters rested, treated it like a fourth preseason game. No, the guy just doesn't miss games.
Yeah.
Bottom line. He had hand surgery. He easily, and it's funny because he joked with reporters at the beginning of the week leading up to the Giants game, I don't think I'm going to be able to go this week. And you're kind of like, well, all right, you know, you had hand surgery. You know, technically nothing, quote unquote, nothing to play for. You probably would understand to an extent. No, he was out there practice all week, and he's not missing the game.
No.
Not a chance to go after Eli Manning, especially. So the biggest question with Graham is going to be, he's been a good rotation player and special teams guy, but could he be the guy who is an every down player? That's going to be the biggest question, because he played roughly 50% of the snaps this season. We'll transition to cornerback, and obviously the whole secondary is going to be under the spotlight. Because when you talk about giving up X plays, Eagles led the league in explosive plays allowed, you're looking at the secondary. And Kerry Williams, Bradley Fletcher, they had their ups and downs throughout the course of the season. You go back to that Thanksgiving game against Dallas. They played probably their best game of the year there, being able to contain that Cowboys passing attack. Then you go to the Cowboys rematch here at Lincoln Financial Field. Bradley Fletcher struggles against Dez Bryant, allows 3 touchdowns, and it seems like Fletcher's game just kind of, you know, took a nosedive, whether it was confidence, whether it was technique, whatever it was, just had his struggles at the end of the year. He's scheduled to be a free agent. Kerry Williams, you have him back for another year under contract. After that, you know, Brandon Boykin, he played in the slot. You know, he didn't have the 6 interceptions like he did last season. Probably not as good overall. He said he grew more as a player. He said he felt he was more consistent with his technique. But, of course, everyone's going to point to the numbers that he didn't have the 6 interceptions. Nolan Carroll, we got a taste of what he could do playing on the outside, even though he was primarily in that dime linebacker package for most of the season. And then Jalen Watkins, we got to see him. I thought it was good to see him get those reps and just to give him something to build upon for next season. But certainly this is a position that everyone's going to be looking at in the offseason to see what do the Eagles do to improve at cornerback.
Well, and you know, when Jeff Reeler was talking about the specific areas in which the Eagles can improve, you know,
this comes to mind.
This is what he was talking about was the secondary. So I expect that we will see some change in the secondary this offseason. Fletcher is a free agent. You can't really expect the Eagles to overturn, you know, 3 starting positions in the secondary.
True.
In one offseason. But I think we'll see some changes here.
We've been there, done that, too, with trying to replace both corners one offseason, and it brought us Carey and Bradley Fletcher. So I don't think that'll necessarily be the way that they go, like Bo said. It's tough to replace 3 out of 4. And, look, I'm a Nate Allen guy. Watching this defense this year, it was – I don't think I ever came away from a game thinking, like, man, Nate Allen really killed them this week. Or I mean, like I thought Nate had a very good year, all things considered. Obviously, were there some plays that he gave up? Yes, but I don't think that he far and away was one of the biggest reasons why they gave up, you know, X amount of these big plays on the defensive side. I wouldn't be surprised if they bought him back, but if they did decide that they wanted to go a different direction, that wouldn't necessarily shock me either.
He came back on a 1-year deal, a former second-round pick back in 2010. He's a free agent. As I mentioned, that Fletcher's a free agent. I think we've covered all the – there's 10 free agents in total, 7 unrestricted. But Malcolm Jenkins, home run signing, free agent signing for the Eagles, no question. He brought versatility, playmaking build, everything that I think Bill Davis and the Eagles were looking for to help stabilize that defense. But then you look at guys like, you know, does Chris Brzezinski, you know, great on special teams this year, midseason acquisition. Is he someone who could be in the mix for next season? Jerome Copeland, don't know much about him. Is he a guy, you know, seems to be a physical talent. You know, is he someone who could make inroads here? From a competition standpoint.
Don't forget about Ed Reynolds. Read the Ruben Frank story on edreynolds.com.
No, he was, you know, they obviously kept him around the practice squad all year for a reason, so give him a chance to develop.
Rube's first question in the final press conference for Chip Kelly was about Ed Reynolds, and then he spent 15 minutes in the locker room talking to Ed Reynolds. I expect there will be an opus coming up.
A huge, huge
the piece. Next Brian Dawkins.
So it's time to
tie Buffalo.
So it's time to humble ourselves. Just a little bit, as you know, middle of season, we did some playoff predictions.
We also did some in the beginning of the season, but that was lost to the Eagles.
The one thing was not lost from that. All 3 of us did predict Tampa Bay to the playoffs and training camp, and they ended up with the number 1 overall pick.
That was really good. That was really good. I believe I also predicted Minnesota to the playoffs and Houston to the playoffs. Houston was close, but
Houston was close. Yep.
Bill O'Brien, I thought, did a very, very good job. I know people are talking about coach of the year candidates, and Arians will win it. But for Houston to have a winning record and They took the Cowboys to overtime. Mm-hmm. You talk about close losses. They had the Cowboys in overtime and lost. So,
all right. So we did these. This I went back and watched this week, and this was
God bless you.
Week 11. So I'll start with the AFC. I took New England at 1, Denver at 2, nice. Indy at 3, okay. 4 with Cleveland, and my reasoning was nice. That the schedule looked good down the stretch.
Yep.
So
good call.
I didn't bank on Johnny Manziel going in and blowing 2 games for them, but.
Well, you banked on Brian Hoyer, so.
Cincinnati at 5. Bo was absolutely outraged that I would take Cincinnati and Andy Dalton. And then the sixth seed was Miami. Miami fell short.
Okay. So 4 of 6.
4 of 6. Bo went Denver, New England, kay. Indy, Baltimore.
Okay.
Kansas City, Miami.
Oh, I didn't take Pittsburgh?
No.
Nope. All right, 4 of 6 for me, too.
Chris went New England, Denver, Indy, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Cleveland.
Mm. Four of the sixth?
Kansas City and Cleveland.
All right. So, no blood.
Now NFC was interesting. We all picked the same exact 6 teams.
Just different orders.
I know that you guys both picked the Eagles as the 1 seed. Yes. I picked them as the 2 seed.
Correct. I went Eagles 1, Green Bay 2, Seattle 3, New Orleans 4, Detroit 5, Arizona 6. So I wasn't too
no.
far
okay.
off. Bo went Green Bay at 1, Philly at 2, Seattle at 3, New Orleans at 4, Detroit at 5, Arizona at 6. So good job, Bo. That's pretty good.
We all believed in New Orleans.
We all believed in New Orleans. Yeah. Who was
stupid.
We all were anticipating them getting in at 9-7. We thought that they were going to get hot down the stretch.
Yeah.
Chris went Philly, Green Bay at 2, Arizona at 3, holding on for the division even with Drew Stanton at the time. New Orleans at 4, Seattle at 5, Detroit at 6. So we all had faith in Detroit. None of us had Dallas in the playoffs.
No.
But we did agree that they would get the 10 wins. So we anticipated that what happened to us would actually happen to Dallas.
Exactly.
Okay. So what breaks the tie there? Division winners?
Should be division winners, yeah.
Probably division winners, in which case I win. I didn't even look, but I'm just going to
Well, you had Cleveland winning.
I had Cleveland winning.
But so none of us had Pittsburgh.
No, none of us had Pittsburgh.
So I win.
There we go.
So let's take a look. Playoff preview. So since we...
Oh, yeah, let's pick them.
So you got... we'll start AFC, the wild card round. You have Cincinnati going to Indianapolis. I think the Bengals win.
Really?
I take the Daltons. Even though it's on the road, going against luck.
Indy kind of limped into the playoffs.
I think Cincinnati is the better team. I think Cincinnati wins.
I'll take the Colts.
I'm going to take the Colts, too. I'm going to take Andrew Luck.
Okay. Always fun AFC North battle, Baltimore against Pittsburgh.
I said to Fran this week that I thought Pittsburgh was a sleeper to go to the Super Bowl.
I think a lot of people are starting to think that.
But too many people are starting to say that, and these games are tough. I think Baltimore might win this game.
Le'Veon Bell, his injury
that's a huge factor.
I think I'm going to go Pittsburgh though. Flacco has been playing that well. Well enough for them to get in.
Yeah,
but
they've been terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got to go Pittsburgh here.
I agree with Frank. I go Pittsburgh as well. Let's go NFC, Dallas, Detroit.
No Sue is big. Obviously.
I think that's the key right there.
Suspension. I'm going to go Detroit.
I can't pick the Cowboys. I'm going to Detroit.
I'll just do that for the sake of it
there
as
you go.
Well. Carolina, Arizona. In Carolina.
I got to go Arizona.
I think Carolina is coming in kind of hot.
Carolina by double digits.
Carolina's
The Panthers haven't played the defenses that will be of Arizona's caliber. The last month that they've played their own division. I got to go Arizona. Cardinals are going
to I'm just trying to see how is Arizona score.
We'll find
Sean McDermott's crew is actually played pretty well in the last month themselves. Yeah. So that would give you so – And then go. We'll leave it at that.
We won't be back next week.
We're not back. So this is it. So
now let's just do it all the way.
So
all right, go ahead.
Go. Just who's your Super Bowl?
It's tough to see anybody beating Seattle right now the way that they're playing. I think Green Bay may have peaked too early, and the injury to Rodgers is big. Even though he'll have the week off, it's tough to not see Seattle going into the Super Bowl for the NFC.
Unfortunately, I agree. I have Seahawks. I'd have them being the Packers.
I will say I'll go be different. I'll say Green Bay over Seattle.
Okay.
All right, and then AFC. I mean, I hate to go with 2-1 seeds, but
because it never happens. But it really happens. They're playing well. It's not like they're limping into postseason.
No, I gotta go to New England, Seattle, New England, and from there, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Belichick. I'm gonna go New England. Find a way.
I don't think the Broncos make it to the title game.
I don't think so either. Who do they could potentially play?
They would play Pittsburgh. I haven't played Pittsburgh in the.
They would play the winner of that game.
I
could see both those teams beating.
Sorry, Peyton. Denver.
Yeah. I never would have thought I was going to say this, but we're here, so.
Oh no.
I'm gonna say Andrew Luck carries a terrible Indianapolis team to the Super Bowl.
Against Green Bay, huh?
He does it.
All right. Andrew Luck.
If it works out where Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, so then Luck plays the Broncos. They could beat them, and then maybe he can win in New England. I don't know. I'm gonna say it.
All right.
I'll have a little faith.
So you've got Andrew Luck against Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. Who's winning? Packers. We need this for historical
Packers
purposes.
Although now that I've picked the Colts, I sort of like the idea of Luck versus Russell Wilson, guys from the same draft class, but. I'll stick with Packers.
All right, and then
Seahawks repeat.
You've got Patriots. Seahawks over Patriots. I've got Patriots over Seahawks. There you go.
So that's going to do it.
Put a bow.
Well, we have one here.
Yeah. Who's your Super Bowl MVP?
Brady. Mm-mm-mm. Brady's the MVP.
Marshawn Lynch.
Micah Hyde.
It is usually like the Dexter Jackson, the absolute
Malcolm
like,
Smith.
Yeah.
Punt return, touchdown, and an interception.
Yeah.
All right.
The fluky thing. So it's $10.
There we go.
So, all right, folks. Well.
So is this the last edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast until May?
Until after the draft.
Eagles Beakley. Thank you.
See? Little role reversal.
But we'll have in
Journey to the Draft
Podcast. The Journey to the Draft Podcast.
Presented by AAA.
Not next week, but the week after that, the week of January 12th, Bo and I will be traveling down to the East-West Shrine Game in beautiful St. Pete Beach.
You guys are already lining up the sites.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dockside Dicks.
So we're going to go, we'll knock out St. Petersburg at the Shrine Game. And the week after the week of the 19th, is the Senior Bowl. So we'll be doing podcasts from there daily. And then a couple weeks after that, in February, we got the Combine. That'll be C-Mac and I. So
look forward to Indianapolis.
Beautiful Indianapolis. Love it. And everything that comes with it.
Home of the Super Bowl losing Colts.
So, yeah, lots to come. Lots to come.
Just wish it wasn't the offseason already.
I'm with you, man.
That's, you know, during that Washington game, like I said, we're in the studio here, same studio we're filming now. I'm just like, I'm not ready for the offseason.
You got emotional after the, in the postgame show. See, yes. I got pretty emotional.
Like tears?
Yeah, almost.
You know?
I caught it.
Because
Wow.
Because you wait all year for this, and it's gone by so fast. I was yearning for Monday Night Football. We're filming this on Tuesday. I was yearning. I usually come home.
It sounds painful.
That was me on the postgame show. Read the kids, put the kids to bed, grab dinner. It's Monday Night Football. And that's just like, that was me.
It's good.
I like that.
So on that note, it's been a hell of a season, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Brian Thomas.
Thomas Bryan.
Outstanding work behind the scenes.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you very much. So all the Eagles production crew, God bless them having to edit this each and every week.
Fennel seed.
So for Fran, for Bo, I'm C-Mac. Guys, we will...
We'll talk in a couple weeks.
We'll
see you on the Journey to the Draft podcast. You look at the footprints in the sand, you'll notice that there's a point where it's only one one set of footprints instead of two sets of footprints. That's not us leaving you. That's us carrying you on the Journey to the Draft. We'll see you in a couple weeks.